Bunch of war propaganda, warmongers, glad handing themselves, giving themselves awards. This stuff really makes me sick.
The President of the United States of America awards this Presidential Medal of Freedom to Jens Stoltenberg, a visionary statesman and ceaseless defender of democracy.
Oh my gosh, Jens Stoltenberg, I'm pulling my beard out right now.
Through the most consequential decade for European security.
European security. They've stood down their borders. They've been invaded. Millions of illegal migrants. Destroying their culture. These politicians have destroyed their economies.
Under his stewardship, NATO.
They're up here bragging about NATO, but the whole thing has been about Ukraine, who's not even a NATO state. All right.
I
got to tell you, pull this. This is disgusting. They're giving him an award. For what? Because he capitulated on supporting Ukraine against Russia? This is just sick. All right, I'm joined now by Ian Carroll at CancelCloCo on X. Ian, very anti-establishment, very anti-war. I'm glad this is happening when he joins me, because my guess is we probably have a lot of things in common when it just comes to, I mean, I don't even view it as politics. It's just being pro-human, pro-peace, pro-planet Earth, and us existing without these blood-sucking scumbags destroying humanity. I mean, I don't even know how else. All right, I'm going to let Ian talk now. Nothing gets me going like war propaganda, and this is one of the most offensive displays of it I've ever seen, Ian.
I couldn't agree more. I think that this highlights more than almost anything how important propaganda is to sort of the state agendas of the various Western powers these days. And you were pointing out quite rightly that, you know, this was started by Western powers. I don't know if you mentioned the CIA coup back in 2014, but this has been going on for a long time. And they're giving out medals not because they've saved a lot of lives, but because they've been instrumental in furthering the agendas of those war profiteers.
Well, I'd like to get into the CIA coup. We'll get into that. We got a short segment here. In the longer segment, we'll get into that. Here's what's just so mind-boggling about this, and I guess I don't even know, like, who is this for? This is all for these geopolitical diplomats glad-handing one each other, circle-jerking one another, giving one another awards. They're certainly not talking to the American people. They're certainly not talking to the people of Europe. But, I mean, how offensive is it to say that they're fighting for democracy? Zelensky is an illegitimate president. He's canceled two elections. His declaration of emergency powers has already expired. And they sit up there and they talk about democracy? I'm sorry, this is offensive to my intelligence.
I mean, how different is it than what's going on in the United States, too, is we got to protect democracy by undermining everything that democracy is all about. It kind of blows my mind that people actually fall for this propaganda, but on the other hand, it's their whole job, and they've been doing it for decades, and it's up to all of us in the independent media spaces and the alternative media spaces to chip away at that mechanism of control little by little.
Well, that's right. And I saw your interview with Redacted, who also does a good job calling out all of this war propaganda. I mean, I'm just glad Putin is probably more level-headed than me and kind of just lets this stuff brush right off of his shoulder. If Putin was really the madman they claim him to be, he would be up in arms right now, infuriated at these lies.
Absolutely. I think that, honestly, no one really talks about it, but I think that the reason why Putin is such a threat to the Western power establishment is because he's so competent and he is ex-KGB. So Putin's entire life story is fighting against Western intelligence agencies. And so when Western intelligence agencies do a coup on his border and incite, you know, militaristic propaganda in all the Western nations to sort of fearmonger and warmonger against Russia, it's nothing new to him. And, you know, he's certainly guilty of lots of, like, you know, complicated and somewhat heinous acts in his time, like everyone in those world leadership powers are, but it's his competence that threatens them, not his madness or psychosis, as, you know, some Western leaders have.
You know, and I just wonder, it's like, it's these world leaders are so unrelatable on a human level because they really don't want prosperity. You know, they sit here and they talk about freedom and prosperity. It's the last thing they want. If our leaders really wanted that, they would be reaching out for relations with Russia, partnerships with Russia. Instead, they've pushed Russia into the arms of the Chinese communist, which is actually a threat to our prosperity. Ian Carroll is our guest. We'll be right back.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll free 888-253-3139.
The antidote to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the war room. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're in the third hour now. My guest is Ian Carroll. And I'm glad that this NATO propaganda is happening as he joins us, because he's a great guest to get into this. It's so cringe. They're now having song and dance ceremonies. And I'm trying to present this in a palatable way, Ian. And for me, it's that, I guess it's like runs around, and that's like what this is for me. For Joe Biden to go up there and present Stoltenberg with this award, and for them to have this song and dance and ceremony, and it's literally nothing but war propaganda. Millions will die because of NATO. They have this Russian boogeyman. Ukraine isn't even in NATO. They have an illegitimate president in Ukraine, and they have this disgusting ceremony. I'm glad the carpet's red. It represents the blood that they've caused. And so, I mean, how does this make you feel? Just a gut reaction to this as a human that loves freedom to watch this war propaganda ceremony.
It makes me kind of sad. I try not to think about it too much. I try to stay focused on the solutions and on where we're going, because when you stop and think about it, it's so 1984. And for me, the tragedy is that I was actually raised on the left. I was raised by sort of classic Democrats in an age where they were at least a little more sane. And when I was growing up, I had this image that the Democratic Party and the liberal left were the party of peace and the anti-war party and the anti-big corporations party. And to watch the transformation that the left has gone through ever since kind of the end of the Bush era into the Obama era is really mind-blowing to watch, you know, my elders, like my parents' generation, that used to think they were on the side of peace, now just blindly cheering for senseless bloodshed that's being perpetuated by our own government. It's pretty depressing when you actually stop and think about it.
Well, you know, that's such an important lesson, and you know, it's a good starter to kind of get into some history here, because, you know, American politics, and I understand why people talk about the false dichotomy of the left and the right. There is a real dichotomy there, but It used to be that even amongst the Democrats and the Republicans, there were certain things that both parties agreed on. There was a certain level of patriotism. There might have been policy disputes or debates, but there were certain things that both parties would always stand behind, like free speech. Well, that's no longer the case. But I think what you're kind of getting into here is now it really has like beveled out, and it's either just far left or what they call far right. Call it what you want, but the left is now anti-free speech, pro-war, anti-democracy, all the things that the Democrats really, at kind of their liberal level, used to be against. So is this just kind of the natural inclination of the political left that needs power to implement its agenda finally coming to fruition?
I ask myself this question all the time, and I didn't mean to. When I started researching and learning and diving into all of this, I thought I was going to be learning about money and the markets and sort of the way money controls our lives. But I inevitably wound up learning a lot about intelligence agencies and about how the CIA and other intelligence agencies have evolved to be really big, powerful players in the political space. And the more I've learned about sort of my childhood that I was oblivious to growing up, you start to notice that at a certain point around the George Bush era, the intelligence agencies, the establishment state, the military industrial state, they seem to have realized that the old days when accessing the Republican Party as their primary sort of base through donors, through big corporations, those days were ending. And somewhere in some dark room, it seems like someone realized that the idealistic nature of the left is prime ground, like the perfect target for propaganda that is sort of a new age of indoctrination, because no longer are you just buying a political party through like high level donor affiliations, but now you're actually indoctrinating the people of a political party through the idea of the greater good. And you can watch how through the 2000s, they started to push out more and more of these sort of like almost communist ideas at first, and now pretty like obviously ideas of how we need to do something for the greater good, whether it's the COVID stuff, whether it's protecting democracy in some other country. And they've really subverted how the left used to be at least anti-war and at least pro-free speech. And now it's hard to find a leftist that is pro-free speech, because it's for the greater good that we censor dangerous ideas. Very Orwellian, really.
Well, and I guess you could say, you know, Bill Clinton obviously had some liberal bents to him, but nobody would argue he was a outright communist. I mean, it was a very capitalistic America when Bill Clinton was president,
yeah.
With the dot-com boom and other capitalist successes. And again, this is no defense of Bill Clinton's integrities. It's just a historical perspective on his presidency. And I think when you compare that to Barack Obama, I mean, maybe if there was a timeline to kind of observe the change there, I guess that would have been it. It would have been, you look at Bill Clinton and then you look at Barack Obama. Barack Obama was way more of a leftist communist ideologue than Bill Clinton was. And it seems like now he's created a breed of Democrat voters, of leftists, of liberal progressives, that is now a seed that's turned into the modern day left. It's the modern day Democrat Party now. That's their expectation politically.
Yeah, I can't help but notice that that change overlaps perfectly with the rise of the digital age and the rise of the internet. In between Clinton and Obama is when we got, essentially, the internet came into everyone's homes. We started to get cell phones that had access to the internet. And by the time Obama came to power, we were starting to get like the early nascent stages of social media. And I think that the deep state, though often incompetent and wildly like idiotic, they have had some really skillful maneuvers throughout their time. And I think that that's a clear example of them seeing the writing on the wall of the old ways weren't going to work anymore. And we were moving into an age of more connectivity, more information sharing. And that required a new tactic for controlling America and sort of the greater political scheme, like landscape of the world. And they very clearly shifted tactics to this sort of information war on us as citizens.
You know, and I think there also was probably a measurement, and this is why Reagan changed the culture of Republican Party politics. It was because he was so popular, and so Republicans said, okay, well, I envy that. I want to try to recapsulate that. And so Obama was kind of almost like the Reagan of modern-day Democrats, where he was so popular. I mean, there's no denying it. I went to an Obama rally when I was at University of Missouri in 2008. And I mean, it was huge. He had a massive crowd. And so politicians see that and they say, wow, well, what's this guy doing that's making him so popular? I want to have big turnouts. I want to be the next celebrity. And so he kind of changed the culture of Democrat Party politics. Now Trump is kind of doing the same with the Republicans. You know, I guess, where is all this going? Can American politics ever find a sense of normalcy again, or is it always going to be fringe groups, extremist groups, and like little niche groups that just refuse to kind of find common ground and instead just stand on each little island as their issue?
As long as money is the prevailing force in politics, I don't think so. I think that you can look at the history of money wheedling its way into big politics little by little by little, until now it's like it's just overt. There's no secrets needed anymore. It used to be kind of like they had to sort of hide how much money was coming from where, you know, at the debates, like at, you know, the Obama and Romney debates, they would sort of like attack each other for their donors and stuff like that. And they still do it, but it's kind of a farce now. And we all know that money buys bills, money buys politicians, money lobbies Congress, and money talks. And so as long as we have money, the money in this world, that is the globalist agendas. That is the sort of like larger corporate deep state beyond politics. They're calling the shots on Capitol Hill, but they're also calling the shots in our culture wars and keeping us fighting with each other, keeping us at each other's throats over these sort of like extremified views of the lefts and rights that are like honestly not the majority of either side. And it paints this constantly divisive picture of America that keeps us from getting anything done while they all just buy the politicians, sometimes blackmail and do other things with the politicians too, speaking of Bill Clinton. And so as long as money's in Capitol Hill and ruling the political agendas, I don't think that we stand much of a chance. But I think that through decentralized media spaces, through connecting as individuals over the internet in real life and forming the power of the people back in this new age, I think that we stand a great chance to change things, just not through what we would classically think as the way you would do it.
Ian Carroll is my guest at Cancel Cloco on X. Follow him on his YouTube channel, Cancel This Conspiracy, on TikTok, Cancel This Clothing Co. Well, and I know you like to talk solutions. And I think that, you know, the issue you brought up, because when I would go on the streets I would try to talk to liberals. And the funny thing is, when I first started doing it, because I didn't really come from any political background, I was really indifferent, maybe even a political nihilist, if you will, before I really decided to get into politics and get really involved and interested. So when I first, let's say, had my red pill moment of realizing how corrupt the media is and politics are, my assumption was I could go out and talk to people from all sides and they'd have the same curiosities and the same interests that I would have. And I came to learn very quick that wasn't the case. And it's just the truth. It was mostly just leftists and liberals that were not interested. And I was stunned. I was like, I thought you'd have an open mind. And so that kind of maybe pushed me to the right, I guess you would say, politically, kind of going through that transformation. But in the process, there are definitely things that we all have in common. The problem is when you try to put it to applicable change, they don't like it when it impacts them. But here's what I'm getting at. When we talk about solutions, we talk about money and politics. Well, I do believe there are solutions to this. I think that there are a lot of solutions. The politicians don't like it because it hurts their bottom line. But okay, how do we get money out of politics? I would say that you stop any foreign nations or any foreign money at all from U.S. politics. Like, who would be against that, right? You'd think that'd be common sense. I mean, what do we do about campaign donation laws? I mean, I would try to eliminate. It's tough, right? If you're a freedom absolutist or you want to be kind of a closer to the absolutist, then you don't want any regulations. But at the same time, you have to make measurements to try to solve problems. I would try to get to a point where there's so little money in politics. I guess this is what I would be looking for. How we get there, I don't know. I would want to get to a point where there's so little money in politics that basically if you haven't been successful in your own life, if you haven't been successful in the private market, if you haven't been successful in the free market, then you probably can't run because you need to make money and you can't afford it. I mean, to me, I think that that's where it needs to go. So, yeah, Donald Trump, he's got billions of dollars. He can run, and it's fine for him. But if you're poor and you make your money in politics, that's what we need to find a way to stop.
Absolutely. I think it's a classic. It's a recurring theme, and it showed up in the P. Diddy lawsuits in the music industry, too, where he had a few quotes that were something along the lines of, the easiest people to control are the ones that came from nothing that I made into something, because they, if I abandon them, if I don't like what they're doing, I can throw them out and they have nothing to fall back on. I am the only thing holding them on to greatness. And so if a politician comes from nothing and is only supported by big PAC money by their donors, then those donors have 100% control over that politician. And that's been the truth about Donald Trump since day one. Love him or hate him, he has been far less controllable because he understands the game. He's been playing it his whole life, and he came in already a successful man. He's the only president in my lifetime and probably in the last 100 years that has lost money in the presidential office. So it says a lot as to why the media, why the establishment treats Donald Trump the way they do, is because he does not come in with those classical control hooks already in him, which all the others do. You spoke about Obama earlier, and Obama did a great job of obfuscating and lying about his connection to the big banks, but he came in as like the guy that was going to save us from the banks and the banking collapse of 08. And his job, his only job, was to not bail out the banks and to fix Wall Street. And instead, he came in on Citibank money, appointed an entire cabinet of Citibank appointees that they literally wrote him a letter telling him who to appoint. And then he proceeded to give all of our taxpayer dollars to all of the big banks that had just screwed us all over in the American housing market. And Wall Street just kept on doing what Wall Street does to this day. So it's a perfect example of how people that come in with the hooks of big money already in them, on the tide of big money, they're already controlled from the start. And just like you say, someone who made that money for themselves is far harder to control.
And I could see the response, because I immediately just have the responses from people disagreeing that they come into my head. It's like a satellite or something. Say, well, yeah, you don't think poor people should be involved in politics? Well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying getting rich in politics should never be the means to an end. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi. It was just reported that her stock portfolio has reached an all-time high this month. I mean, people talk about Nancy Pelosi coming from a gangster mafia family. Okay, maybe that's the case. How has Nancy and Paul Pelosi become worth nearly $500,000? You know, it's like, these are basic questions. That's not ludicrous to wonder how a woman who's been in politics for more than what?
Insider trading.
I'm sorry. It sounds like you sneezed.
I got some insider trading in my throat. Sorry.
You're allergic to insider trading?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about we audit Nancy Pelosi? I mean, but this is stuff, that's what I'm saying. It's like, she's been in politics. I mean, she looks like she has a plastic face that's falling off her skull nowadays, yeah, and somehow she's still in there. This is a woman who's made millions of dollars off of a congressional salary of probably about $200,000, maybe $250,000 when she was the speaker. How does she become worth hundreds of millions of dollars? Why can't I ask that question? Why don't people clamor for that information?
You know, the thing that I think none of us talk about enough, because you can never talk about enough, there's so many problems, but entertainment is such an important part of the control tactics, is that the way that we are all kept entertained and satisfied and overfed and overstimulated all the time kind of keeps everyone from asking the important questions. Everyone is so busy asking like what Lizzo did last weekend and like what's up with the Drake and Kendrick feud. It's like, yeah, cool. Like, culture is whatever. You know, theoretically, we're deciding who's popular and not just like people that like Diddy. But it is such an important distraction force from like getting the general public involved in civics and involved in government and asking questions like, where the hell did Nancy Pelosi get her money from? Or maybe even a better question is, where did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez get her money from? Because she was like a bartender. She was a broke bartender. She's like, what, in her 30s? And she suddenly is worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's like, she hasn't even had that long.
That might be the best example of what I was talking about earlier. I'm not insulting.
Yeah.
Folks, I've had, you know, tiny amounts of money in my bank account. I was broke when I was in college, you know, working five jobs just to pay rent and get groceries. So this isn't some sort of stab at people that are, you know, struggling to make money or poor. That's what I'm talking about. How does somebody go from rags to riches in politics? In politics.
Yeah. And to the point that we're speaking about already is that, how do you, right now, everyone is playing on an unlevel playing field. All regular people are walking on a treadmill that's speeding backwards against them. So as you make money, that money is inflating away to nothing. As you're making money, all of the costs of living are going sky high. Debt is through the roof. People aren't able to pay their bills. And it's because of the monetary policy of the Federal Reserve and the American government and the corporate state. And all of those people are able to perpetuate that cycle of like essentially theft from us, because of all the money in politics that's getting them there, keeping them there, and enriching them all there. And so in order to unravel this like unlivable nation we're in right now, we need to get the money out of politics so that we can get the money out, like we can take control of the monetary system away from these reckless spenders that are just sending all this free money to foreign wars when it should be in our education system, in our food system, in our like, you know, basic roads and like, you know, establishing a country that is livable. And so when we talk about people that can't even like keep up with bills, it's important to remember that it's not even our fault at this point. Like, we all take responsibility for doing our best to get ahead and do right by our family. But it's still important to remember that part of the job, part of the fight, is to go after the people that are stealing from all of us every day through
Well, this is, to me, again, this is why I don't understand why people can't find common ground. And what I learned is I would do some psychological exercises, and I've learned that it's just true. Liberal progressives are willing to sacrifice their own beliefs for the party agenda. I mean, I would go out on the streets and do street interviews and say, hey, you know, do you believe in bigger or smaller government? And they'd always go small. But then once you actually get into the practice, they realize, oh, wait, I actually do believe in bigger government. I'd say, do you believe in more or less taxes? And they're like, well, I have to believe in more taxes now because you just. So it's like it's a really strange phenomenon, but it's really not even that difficult. We spend, if you just look at an annual budget, we spend probably $250 billion on illegal immigration. We spend $250 billion on wars that have nothing to do with our national interest. I mean, just look at those two issues alone. That's $500 billion, $500 billion that they take out of our pockets, put us in debt to fund things that don't benefit us at all. And I always love to use this when liberals talk about, well, free healthcare and all this other stuff. I don't believe in that. But, okay, if you stop spending money on non-citizens or stop spending money on foreign nations and we've got an extra $500 billion to put into our economy, okay, maybe I can hear you out on a healthcare for all deal. But that's not what we have. So it's just like I can't even imagine. It's really hard to even fathom what America could actually look like if we were injecting $500 billion into our own infrastructure, our own education, instead of wars and non-citizens. I really don't even think we can comprehend it. I think we could be so prosperous and so innovative. We could be like a new roaring 20s, like a new booming economy if we didn't spend all this money on foreign interests.
That is exactly the point. And I think that most Americans can't even fathom that that would be true or what the world would look like if we had a real monetary policy with sound money that could actually like sustain an economy. Because as it is, we are all putting in a ton of work into the system, and like 40% of it is getting siphoned off right away into government expenditures that have nothing to do with our country and our well-being. And so we sort of get tricked into thinking this is how the world works, when it's not. This is just how a corrupt oligarchy works, and we've never known anything else because it's been this way since we were born.
Well, you know, that's it exactly. It has been this way since we're born. So how do we change that perspective? How do we, I mean, maybe open the third eye, open the third political eye? How do we get people to realize the potential is right there in front of us? And it's not to say it's going to be easy, but I mean, really, you make like three or four policy changes and the door swings off the hinges of potential.
No. The way that I see it, and it's not a fast solution and it's not easy, but the way that I see it, and this is just my bias, is I think that education is the solution. It's education for all of us educating ourselves. We live in a day where you have a smartphone in your pocket, you have like search engines on your computer, you have access to all the information in the world, but most of us don't take responsibility for knowing about the world, knowing how money works, understanding like the future of technologies like AI or cryptocurrency, understanding global politics, understanding the history of the CIA, understanding what they don't want you to know. Because if you're getting all of your information from the government that is oppressing you, you obviously are not getting the information that you need to learn in order to change the world and become unoppressed. And so it's up to all of us to educate ourselves, educate each other, and educate our kids to learn how they control us so that we can learn how to undo it all together.
You know, and that's a great point as we're about to go to a break here. And we've talked about what I want to talk about. In the next segment, we'll see what our guest Ian Carroll wants to talk about. But, you know, that's a great point, and it's a realization I had because I always would hear conservatives saying, oh, well, you know, the left isn't procreating, so we don't have to worry about them because conservatives are procreating. And it hit me one day. I was like, well, wait a second. That's why they're taking over the education system. Yeah, they're not having kids. That's why they're indoctrinating your kids. But it's beyond just that. You don't learn about taxes. You don't learn about business. You can't even fix a tire if you go to school.
This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as she was nine.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation, remarkable.
He is sharp. intensely probing and detail-oriented and focused.
I was sitting, you know, 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas.
One debate later.
Both fellows. Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we had to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare, we're trying to provide housing for Black Americans. The impact of on the choice. The idea that they're going to, I've been proposing that everybody, the millionaires pay 1%. So no one I've not raised the cost of Social Security for anybody. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And wants to get away with, get rid of the ability of Medicare us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America.
If anybody in America thinks that was even close to being an okay debate by Joe Biden, I'm living in a parallel universe.
The universal reaction was somewhere approaching panic.
Right now, as we speak, there is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive panic in the Democratic Party.
There's a full-on panic about this performance.
Biden had a terrible night. He could not land a thought, not even in the closing statement, which is something that's the easiest part. Write down a few words, go through the thoughts.
That was an unmitigated disaster for President Biden from the second he walked out to the closing statement.
This is about as bad of a performance in order to that Biden could have delivered.
He didn't do well at all. He did not do well at all.
Again, it was terrible. It was terrible.
That was painful.
There's no way to spin it.
I mean, can you say that you are not concerned at all having watched the president's performance tonight?
It was a slow start. That's obvious to everyone. I'm not going to debate that point.
Yeah, look, it was a really disappointing debate performance from Joe Biden. I don't think there's any other way to slice it.
President Biden seeming extremely feeble, seeming extremely weak.
The only job that Joe Biden had last night was to reassure America that he was not too old to do the job. And he failed.
Joe Biden's job was to reassure them tonight. His job was to calm his party, to make them feel that, yes, I can do this. I have 4 more years in me. I have the ability and the stamina and the strength to do 4 more years. He did not do that.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, last segment here with Ian Carroll. Follow him on X at CancelCloCo or his YouTube channel, Cancel This Conspiracy. Very informative and entertaining. We've talked about what I want to talk about. Ian, what are your big stories right now? What are you talking about with your followers?
I mean, I talk about all kinds of things, corruption of every form. But in the break, I was thinking, like, what's the thing that we should talk about with the InfoWars audience? Because you guys have a really active, participatory, and thoughtful audience. And there's so much going on this year. But, like, what is the thing that matters the most? What can we do to effect change, hopefully for the better this year? And it's kind of the obvious answer is we're coming into an election, right? And we all remember what happened in the last election. And we remember how, you know, there were live streams in the middle of the night and there was weird stuff going on. And there was sort of citizen journalists looking out and raising the alarm about a lot of things. But if I'm being honest, in hindsight, there's more we could have done to keep a lens on what's going on, to expose the lies, to expose kind of fraud and various forms of election interference. Because as we were talking about earlier with Ukraine, you know, the intelligence agencies of the West, their job is to overturn elections, to rig elections, to, let's say, influence elections, which they would obviously never do in America. They would never do that. But if they were to do that, we would want to all be all hands on deck, just keeping an eye on what's going to happen this November, you know, being at the polling stations, being prepared to go out in the middle of the night and, you know, film things, take photos of things. And I think that coming up on this next election, we are halfway through so many big sort of deep state globalist plans in the world right now that I expect that they will stop at nothing to get the results they want out of this election. Because if they get foiled halfway through these plans, we're talking about years and years and years of work being flushed down the drain. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
Well, I would say that you're spot on when it comes to getting active this November. And it's like, hey, I'm going to go to downtown San Francisco and film some homeless people. Like, yeah, they're everywhere. So you can obviously film them. I mean, folks, if you go out on election day and hang around some polling locations and you think there might be some shenanigans, yeah, you'll probably find something. I mean, it's even happened to me. And I mean, it might be a minor thing, but we observed, myself and Rob Dew, who's just right across the office here, we observed some crimes happening in Austin. We filmed them, called the cops and everything. I mean, we weren't even trying to do that. It was just like, hey, this is illegal electioneering that you have going on here. Of course, it was Democrats doing it. And so we filmed that, called the police. That's just one example. It's so hard, I think. It's kind of like when you're, you know, there's a reason why a lot of people submit to vaccines or pharmaceutical products, because you're sitting there and it's the kind of the intimidation of the hospital or the emergency room. It's the guy in the lab coat, the doctor's outfit, and you're just like, oh, well, I better do what they say. I mean, there's kind of that same thing, I think, in these polling locations where people are afraid to film or, you know, speak out if they see anything. But I think, you know, because my regret is, on election night in 2020, InfoWars did like a 100-hour straight live broadcast leading into the election. And so on election night, like myself and the crew were already burnt out. And so it was like 3 a.m. and they were basically saying, we're done counting and we're not going to call it for Trump. And so it's 3 a.m. and I'm like, all right, guys, let's just call it a night. We'll be back in the morning, whatever. Let's go home and get some rest. And sure enough, as soon as we shut it down and I get home, and literally I drive from the office to my house, and then all of a sudden Biden wins 5 states and they call it for Biden. I'm like, holy hell, what the? It's just like, it just, boom, it just happened like that. And so it was like, you know, that's just a little adjustment for me in the media. It's like, no, I'm going to have to be on literally until 6, 7 a.m. and let's restore our energy. I guess my counter question back to you, because this is where I kind of push back on people that say, well, what's going to be the difference between 2020 and 2024? They've done nothing to change the rig job. And while I'm healthy skepticism or calling out rigged elections, yeah, I'm all for it. But I do believe they've done something. I believe they have a lot of poll watchers. They've hired tens of thousands. They're going to have a bunch of lawyers on the scenes as well. This is all over the media with the liberals panicking. They even have cybersecurity experts that are going to be observing the voting machines to make sure they're not connecting to the internet. The code doesn't change throughout the process. So I do think that things have been done.
Dude,
I mean, is it enough?
Right.
But do you agree with that, or do you kind of buy into that, hey, they've done nothing, they'll just steal it again mentality?
No, I completely agree with you. And I'm glad that people have woken up to what happened and people in, you know, positions of influence, positions of power, like in politics, in cybersecurity, in, you know, lots of lawyers, the people that are pro freedom and pro America are doing things. And I think it's up to all of us to think, what can I personally do? What are my skill sets? What's my job? And even if you're just a regular American citizen that doesn't have any skill sets you think are pertinent to an election, it's important to remember that you are a target of media and information. And it's highly likely that we will have at least one, shall we say, black swan style event or bizarre event. Like, there will probably be things that will happen to try to sway our minds, to try to disinform us. Like, for example, the Hunter Biden laptop story that came out right before the last election.
We should all be prepared to be as informed as possible and to be as vocal and intelligent as possible about the way that the media tries to sort of affect all of us, even if we're not someone who actually has, you know, the connections to go and like monitor a polling station or the connections to go and have a press pass or whatever it is. Everyone has something to do, even if it's just a good defense can be your good offense, because you're going to be the target of so many lies and deceptions leading in to 2024.
Yeah, I get asked this all the time, and I've kind of learned to have the same response with people saying, well, what can I do? Well, what can I do? And my response is, well, you just asking me that means you're on the right track. Whatever. It means you know you need to do something. I can't tell you what it is you need to do. For me, I was already in media. I was in sports media before I started into politics. So for me, I was already in media. And when I realized that the news is lying to us, our politicians are lying to us, you know, everything else that comes along with it, the answer for me was obvious. Okay, well, I'm going to drop sports and I'm going to go into politics and start to do some of this more informative, important stuff. But for others, it might be getting involved in local politics. It might be getting on a school board. There's all kind of poll watching, whatever. The point is, if you're asking me that question, you're already on the right track, but you have to be the answer to the question. I can't answer the question of what can I do. You have to answer that question for yourself. And so I think that that's finally happening, though. And maybe COVID or maybe the 2020 election theft, you know, maybe those were kind of the moments that really spurred people into realizing, yeah, I need to do something.
Yeah. And one last thought that we should all just keep in mind is that whether Trump is your guy completely or Trump is totally not your guy or you're somewhere in the middle, we all need to be aware that just the facts are that Trump got attacked in a big legal way and they took a lot of money away from him. And we were talking earlier about how money insulates politicians against control. And so Trump has had to make a lot of deals with big money since they started taking all that money from him that has helped them get their claws and talons into him. And so I think that everyone, whether you're pro-Trump or kind of on the fence or not, everyone has a responsibility to sort of hold Trump accountable and try to help him stay true to the values that he said he would stay to, and try to pressure and support the, you know, a true like a true representation of what Americans want, and not let big money subvert Trump if and when he wins. Because although Trump may want to do a certain set of policies, big money might have their talents in a way that without overwhelming support from the people for a better policy, he might be under pressures that he was not under in the last election cycle. So we should all just be aware of the complexity of this race, the complexity of the position that a person like Trump is in, and just sort of like, you know, not take it at face value.
Yeah. And I would say, generally speaking, too, you know, don't look for any politician to save you. You always have to save yourself. You have to be the answer to your own problems.
Absolutely.
I just want somebody who's not going to step on my air tube, you know, when I'm scuba diving at the bottom of the ocean is all I want. I just want somebody who's not going to step on my air tube and, you know, cause me to run out of air. And I think that Trump's probably the guy, hopefully, to do that. All right. Last question, Ian Carroll. Great time with you today. When you go out and you sing karaoke, do you sing Bohemian Rhapsody? Is that your choice?
I have before, but that's not my first choice. I live in a very liberal town, so I just try to avoid karaoke nights altogether.
All right. Well, I figured I thought you might go with that, or maybe bicycle, or maybe something.
I get the Freddie Mercury all the time, though, and it's a lot of fun.
Ian Carroll,
it's a lot of fun.
Great stuff, man.
Thanks, Owen.
Police have tracked down a killer whose crimes spanned the country. The man accused of killing a Maryland mother of five on a popular hiking trail has been captured in Oklahoma. Rachel Marin was dragged from a hiking trail in Maryland where she was raped and murdered. Hernandez allegedly has ties to the notorious MS-13 gang and entered the country illegally in February of last year.
The sheriff says that he fled to the U.S. illegally after murdering a woman in El Salvador in January of 2023. Just 1 month before he entered the U.S. last year, Interpol issued an arrest warrant for Hernandez.
We are 1,800 miles away from the southern border, and the American citizens are not safe because of failed immigration policies. This is the second time in just 2 years that an innocent Harford County woman has lost her life to a criminal in our country illegally.
As far as I'm concerned, the Biden administration has the blood of Rachel Warren in their hands.
Two officers were shot overnight. The suspect also shot in the exchange of gunfire.
Police also saying that suspect Bernardo Raul Castro Mata currently resides at a migrant shelter not too far away from here.
Christian Inga was arraigned today in New York City on charges of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl after school last week in a shocking daylight attack. Police say the 25-year-old migrant from Ecuador approached two teens in the park at knife point. According to the criminal complaint, the suspect tied the boy and girl to one another, gagged them, then raped the girl before fleeing the scene. Police say Inga entered the U.S. illegally through Eagle Pass, Texas, back in 2021.
We've also learned from law enforcement here in New York that Christian Ingalandi was actually ordered to go back to Ecuador just a year later in 2022. Had he been deported, we may not have this case that has really struck a chord with people here in New York City, but even people around the country.
A Venezuelan gang known as Tren de Aragua has victimized thousands through extortion, drug and human trafficking, kidnapping and murder. And now U.S. law enforcement, including Customs and Border Protection and the FBI, say the gang has made their way into the country.
U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens, who has confirmed multiple arrests of alleged Tren de Aragua members over the last year, issued a warning in early April after reporting yet another arrest. Watch out for this gang, he said. It is the most powerful in Venezuela, known for murder, drug trafficking, sex crimes, extortion, and other violent acts.
Today, an illegal immigrant who killed someone in Troy is set to be sentenced. Carlos Corrales Ramirez pleaded guilty to the deadly stabbing last month. He admitted to killing a man near River and Dow Streets last September. The Honduras native was also charged with a stabbing in Maryland last February. He was arrested for that crime, but was later released because Maryland officials never extradited him.
Eight individuals, all from the Central Asian country of Tajikistan, were arrested in Los Angeles, New York, and Philadelphia. They entered the United States this year and in 2023, crossing the Mexican border. They were vetted and allowed to remain in the country. CBS News has learned further investigation uncovered the men had possible ties to ISIS-K.
Five men in the U.S. illegally were arrested Monday morning in Northeast Missouri after a teenage girl was reported missing in Indiana. The suspects are accused of kidnapping the 14-year-old from her home. They were tracked down in Macon County. All five of these men are charged with second-degree kidnapping and first-degree endangering the welfare of a child.
Developments in the brutal abduction and murder of a 12-year-old Texas girl whose body was found dumped in a bayou. Police arrested 21-year-old Johan Jose Rangel Martinez and 26-year-old Franklin Jose Pena Ramos, both illegal migrants from Venezuela. Surveillance video appeared to show both men with the girl just hours before she was found dead. Both men have been charged with capital murder. Critics blaming Jocelyn's death on President Biden's border policies.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Fumbles and bumbles are going around, so, yeah, who's surprised? Who's surprised? All right, final segment here of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We still got a lot to cover. Remember, folks, the Spirit of 1776 sale is live right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Up to 60% off top-selling, top-rated supplements. But, you know, there's products at InfoWarsStore.com that there's really nothing else like them on the market, like our nascent iodine products. You have nascent iodine Survival Shield X2, 40% off, or nascent tri-iodine Survival Shield X3, also 40% off, both at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn about the iodine deficiencies that cause so many health problems in our communities and realize why nascent iodine is the solution. And of course, they put the fluoride in the water. That's the bad halogen. We try to push back against that with the iodine, and that's why we have Survival Shield X2 or Survival Shield X3, both 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Liquid tincture, I put it under the tongue. And so it's just, there's nothing else like it on the market. There's so many products at InfoWarsStore.com that there's really nothing else like it on the market. Another one is DNA Force Plus, 40% off as well. And this is just part of the Spirit of 1776 Super Sale. Get these products while they last. All right, let's try to pile drive through some of this news before we sign off. A big pro-Biden account on X tried to pull a quick one and regretted it immediately. I don't know where the final polling result ended up. Let's take a July poll from Biden propaganda agent Morgan Freeman. No, not that Morgan Freeman. And 92% showed up to vote for Trump. 92% in a pro-Biden account poll voted for Trump. So about 100,000 votes, more than 90% go for Trump. I'd say that's pretty accurate. I'd say that deal is pretty accurate. So I don't know where it ended up, if the crew wants to put that on the screen or not. But point is, even pro-Biden accounts are putting up polls that Trump is dominating. So I don't know if that tells you Biden voters are switching to Trump or if there just are no Biden voters. Either way, it doesn't look good for Biden. GOP-led House committee adopts amendment to reduce AG Garland's salary to $1 until he releases the Biden Her tapes. They're also fining him $10,000 a day. Now, this is ongoing stuff. There's some looming legal battles. The Supreme Court just affirmed that the inherent contempt standard can be held to Merrick Garland, but I'll have more on that tomorrow. We had a press statement from Mike Johnson on the Her tapes. This is why Garland's being held in contempt. Everybody in America knows why they don't want to turn over the audio, because it will obviously, presumably, show exactly what we all saw on that debate stage, and that's something that they've been wanting to cover up. And, of course, that is the mental decline of Joe Biden. Maybe that's what Senator Manchin is inferring from the video earlier. Maybe he thinks there's going to be some big developments in getting this tape to the public that's going to be a complete disaster for Joe Biden and the Democrats. But now Democrats are propositioning that Merrick Garland have a special counsel investigate Clarence Thomas. They want financial disclosure reports required by the Ethics in Government Act. How about that for like a Nancy Pelosi? So now the Democrats are really going after Clarence Thomas, is what that shows. My guess is Merrick Garland sits this one out, but we'll see. There's all kinds of wheeling and dealing going on in that district of criminals we call Washington, D.C. So the Democrats now are making attempts to remove Clarence Thomas from the bench. They want to remove the greatest Supreme Court justice currently and in modern history, Clarence Thomas, from the bench. Those racist bigots trying to remove a black man. Can you believe that? Can you believe those racist Democrats? They hate seeing a black man doing his thing, don't they? So typical. All right. You want to see cringe? Boy, oh boy. I hate to even do this to you. Jill Biden. Now, Jill Biden, you don't think this woman is loving her role as the first lady? She demanded the Marine Corps band write her theme music. No, I'm not kidding. Jill Biden demanded that the Marine Corps band made a theme song for her whenever she made appearances at White House events, then demanded that they had to play her theme song. Talk about an arrogant, entitled bitch. Oh, yeah. Who do you think really wants to stay in the White House, Joe or Jill? I mean, there might be a nice toilet throne that Joe likes to sit on. That's kind of his thing. He's got a nice toilet or something, or somebody that wipes his butt in the White House staff. But it's Jill. She told the Marine Corps band to write her a theme song that they have to play whenever she goes to White House events. So here's Jill Biden's theme song in clip 17.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Fast forward it like 15 seconds. Because they do this introduction. Here we go. Just play it.
Yana Ertube.
That's Jill Biden. Biden's theme song. First Lady demanded the band write her a theme song and play it when she speaks at the White House. It's too bad she's not a class act like Melania. Now, Melania is the one that would deserve a theme song and everything else and to be on the front of a campaign. And you notice how Melania just kind of, she just does her own thing. She doesn't ask for the spotlight. Jill is obsessed with herself. She doesn't get enough of herself. I can't even play this. Here's Jill Biden talking about Joe getting a cognitive exam in clip 20.
Nikki Haley, one of the Republican candidates, is calling for mental competency tests for those politicians over the age of 75. What do you think about that?
Ridiculous.
Would your husband ever take one of those?
I mean, we haven't even discussed, we would never even discuss something like that.
Oh, they'd never even discuss something like that, of course. Now, if Nikki Haley would have said Donald Trump needs to take a cognitive test, then of course, then they would all have agreed with that. But, oh, throw Joe Biden into the mix and no. All right, you know, I've got clips from Jill Biden campaigning for Joe. It's just, it's a cringe factor of over 100. So I'm going to spare you. I'll spare you that. She did three campaign events for Joe yesterday. And I mean, look, she is loving her some her. And it's like the most shrill voice. And she's just up there just parading, peacocking around, fluffing her hair. Oh, my gosh. It is just, ugh, you can't even imagine. Oh, boy, oh, boy. There's so much news I still didn't get to. Fallen Cleveland police officer Jameson Ritter honored yesterday. And, did you hear anything about Jameson Ritter getting killed by a criminal in Cleveland? Did you hear anything about that? Does it matter that did the demographics of that phenomenon matter? No, I guess not. So Jameson Ritter, a great American, slain in the line of duty. But he won't get a bunch of parades. He won't get funerals all over TV because those demographics don't work out. And, well, police officers just don't get honored. Criminals do now. That's how that goes. All right. Boy, oh, boy. You know, there's a lot to get into with this Boeing story from yesterday, but from today, rather. But I'm out of time, so we'll have to put that off till tomorrow. A big Boeing story. Big vaccine news. They're now admitting that it is killing women's fertility. I mean, oh boy, it was a long 3 hours, but it's the fastest 3 hours on the internet, and unfortunately we're out of time, so we'll do it all again tomorrow. 21-hour break. We'll see you again tomorrow on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. You stay classy, InfoWarrior.
All right, folks. Vitamin Mineral Fusion is finally back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. We just had a shipment come in months ago, and it sold out so fast that we frantically worked to get this back in stock as soon as possible because Vitamin Mineral Fusion is one of our most popular products. Now, the reason that you should be getting this product is for the same reason that you get any other multivitamin product. Our body needs these vitamins, these minerals, and these nutrients in order to live and operate at the most efficient level possible. Now, you should be getting this from InfoWarsStore.com instead of from your pharmacy or your grocery store or with name brands or generic versions, because this has optimal absorption included in it. It's designed for your body to be able to actually absorb all of the nutrients in the most efficient way possible, unlike other competitors on the market that just simply don't operate that way. Now, this includes comprehensive nutritional support. Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com has A, C, D, E, B complex, essential minerals like magnesium, calcium, and zinc. Every everything the body needs to survive. It also includes enhanced absorption and utilization. Like I was saying before, this is an advanced multivitamin formulation designed to let your body actually absorb everything so you don't just flush it out like with so many competitors. And finally, it will support energy production and recovery. So make sure you check out Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com right now, not only because this product is an amazing product for anybody in the world to take, but because by purchasing from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep us on the air in this most dangerous time for both InfoWars and our country. We know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that the New World Order is trying to take over and shut down InfoWars and, frankly, shut you down too. So by getting Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you fighting for your health, but you're fighting for your country and you're fighting for humanity itself.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.